Hello, and welcome back to Brubacher and Beyond. We hope you enjoyed the first part of our Con Expo discussion. And on this episode, we are going to resume and continue where we left off last.
So, Andy, Brady brought up a great point here and something that you deal with every day. With all the technicians and the in-house repairs and the fixes that we have, as this technology advances, how does that change your job? It's got to help in some ways, right? Because if you send a technician out that already knows the trouble code with that piece of equipment, he's prepared or she's prepared to go out there and fix it, hopefully, right? But then how much more complicated does it make it with everything?
Well, anytime there's electronics, it's more complicated, right? So the equipment 10, 15 years ago was nuts and bolts, and you just went out and fixed it, replaced the part, where now you have to diagnose the issues. Now, one of the things that most manufacturers have is a code that will come up on the display, or we receive by email a code that this machine is having, and it kind of tells us what the issue is and what we can then look for in our service manual and determine what we need to do, or we can reach out to our dealer rep on the service side. So that has been a big help. But yeah, the technology, it's great, but it does make it, it can make it harder to work on equipment. We do have a technology specialist in-house, and he's really our go-to guy. And that makes a huge difference for us to be able to have somebody that is really pretty much up to speed on technology.
Yeah, the other thing I would add around that area is one of those out of our group of technicians, we have one person who specializes in that electronics, electrical, software type area. I think it's a matter of time till there's two, till there's three, till companies that repair and manage their own equipment and then outsource and support with their local dealer. I think the day is coming, we're going to have half and half, where you have half the folks that are turning wrenches and bolting and unbolting parts, doing maintenance and those things, and the other half that are software and technical folks that are probably driving a van or some type of truck with no crane and no welder on, which is, that's almost heresy in this business to think of that. But it really is shifting. As I think of young folks coming up, if you have an interest in that area of repairing and software, but you don't want to be stuck in an office somewhere, you want to be out and about a different place every day, it's a wonderful opportunity for folks to think about how to apply those skills, but don't want to be stuck behind a desk sitting somewhere in an office, but they love the outdoors, love connecting with people, love problem solving. So I think there's a real opportunity, but it's also a challenge. And I think taking your traditional person that's out with the grease under their fingernails and up to their elbows and saying, hey, I'm going to train them how to be this other person. Some may have that interest, others may not. And we may need to look at different sources of a labor pool for folks that are coming into that. The other thing, we used to have these neatly segmented parts of the business where survey would pound the stakes, operations would drive over half of them in the process of building the work. You'd call them out, they'd put more in, and fleet managed and fixed and repaired equipment and drove around with trucks and wrenches and welders and cranes. And now with the integration, the average dozer or excavator we buy is more computing power than our whole company had 25 years ago or 20 years ago even. And so there's no bright lines between those areas anymore. And they're all mushed together into this common cauldron of stuff that can go wrong. And when it works great, everything's good. And when it doesn't, you're not even sure where to go. Is it a survey plan thing? Is it a machine thing? Is it a satellite issue? Is it an operator issue? And is it a hardware piece? And you need somebody that sits in the middle of all of that and can sort through it to get to the solutions quickly. Because you have a crew waiting, you have a deadline, you have liquidated damage, you have these things that has to happen. And that's the role that the technician that manages those things. And I think site contractors need to think very differently about the solution for the years ahead than what we have done or are doing now. What got us here is certainly not going to get us where we need to go in the years ahead.
And in this relationship, you know, as being the manufacturer's rep, you look through Con Expo as a different lens than we do, right? So you're there to educate and build relationships. And I'm going to say probably to help your customers make the right decision on purchasing the right equipment. And we're there looking for support. But if you had to give some advice to a contractor that's going to Con Expo, Pat, what advice would you give them from your lens?
Go with an open mind, go wanting to learn and kind of going off what Andy said on his first trip there. It's so massive. I've been there many times, worked the show. You almost can't see it all if you want to see it in depth. So you kind of almost have to go into it with a plan and say, I want to go to the Komatsu booth, the deer booth, the cat booth, the case. These are who I want to see. I absolutely want to see these and see what they have to offer and talk in depth and have a plan of attack that way to see what's new out there. What do they have versus what they have over here? And why does this manufacturer do this? And why does this one over here think this is the better way and do it this way? And kind of have that plan and that open-mindedness to go find the solutions from the different manufacturers and how they're doing things. Because we're all doing similar things. We're just all doing it a little bit different way and how we have decided that's the right route to go for the brand. So the brand or the dealer. So I think that's the best route is you almost have to have a plan of here are the things I want to see and I've got to go find those. And then if you have extra time, fill in from there or as you're bouncing to a different booth or a different section of the show, you might find something interesting in between, but you almost can't see it all if you want to get in depth and see what is available and where you're going to look. So
Brady, in 2026, do I schedule an appointment with you and your company? Would you recommend? Or do I just walk around and then just pop into a booth? Or what would be your recommendation?
If there's people that you definitely want to see and talk to and link up with, I would recommend scheduling an appointment. The place is so large, and I will even speak this year when I was there. I had several clients out there, and I got a couple different phone calls or texts from clients. Hey, I'm at the deer booth, and I was a mile away, because I may have been checking in on other things.
Yeah.
So it's definitely important to plan. I agree with what Pat said as far as don't try to plan too much. Plan on some target, people that you want to see or manufacturers that you want to see, and then use that in between time to, have your eyes open and mind open to see, well, what's this thing over here? I never saw that before. Maybe that's a solution for me, that sort of thing. But you're not going to, have as good a takeaway or value if you just do a very slight overview and try to hit a bunch of booths versus selecting a few that you're going to invest some time in.
Jason, what would you recommend for a contractor should be thinking about when they go to Con Expo?
I would say pick your targets, the must visit places. Definitely planning is important, making appointments so that you're not missing. I missed several people just because, I was leaving and they're like, hey, are you at the show? No, I'm getting on a plane. To go back. But with the planning, don't forget weather. It rains in the desert and 2 days we had partial rain. And, I'd say a third of it's inside, but two thirds is outside. So check the weather because, take those days with the rain and do the inside part.
So with all good things, we'll start descending this podcast and we will go around the table and give some final thoughts. And I will start with Andy here. Final thoughts on Con Expo and any recommendations you would make for me in 2026?
So my recommendation for you is come hang out with me and I'll take you around. So if you walk with Keith, you're going to have to walk really fast. Keith has long legs and it is. it was good. I got my exercise in. No, I think for me, for somebody going to Con Expo, it's like I said before. I mean, now that I've been there, I kind of know, but you don't know until you go. So it's that you get there. Okay, I probably should have taken a little bit more time and just looked at what's out there and try to come up with a better game plan. But to go into it and have a couple ideas, Keith challenged me with what are the couple things that you want to take away from Con Expo. And I went and I kind of had an idea and I walked away with, I was a little overwhelmed. There was just a lot of things to look at, and I wanted to see as much as I could. So second time around, I would like to take my time, plan my visits to different booths. Of course, there will be Komatsu, Cat, and John Deere that I will probably spend a lot of time with while I'm there. But just taking your time and see what the best practices are, what's the new technology, what's the new up and coming things?
Thank you for that. And Jason, I'll ask the question a little bit different to you since you've been there multiple times. Do you go there to get any training? Or what do you go to ConExpo for? It might be mandatory, but I mean, what value do you get out of it?
I've been going for 20 years, and every 3 years it changes. But one thing that's consistent, I go there to talk to the product managers the very first morning when it's not that crowded and get the inside, you know, knowledge of all the new innovations and the equipment, because there's new equipment that they don't tell us about. You know, they just don't want to let the cat out of the bag. So my goal is, you know, to talk to those knowledgeable folks. They were part of the development of the new equipment and the changes. And, you know, they have, you know, a thought process, you know, what they wanted to do, and you can learn a lot.
So there's new things revealed that not everybody knows, and they wait for ConExpo to
do this. Very sneaky.
Alan, your recap thoughts on ConExpo, but I'm interested to see from your perspective of estimating, relaying efficiencies to customers, what did you take out of ConExpo? And next time in 2026, when you go, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting being out there, and I use the term overwhelming before. And yes, it's overwhelming, just everything that is out there. It's not just equipment. I mean, I kind of joked the day I was out there, and Andy and I were walking past a booth that was advertising chains and chain binders. So it goes down to every nitty gritty thing that goes into construction. But even the number of equipment manufacturers that are represented there, some of which I had never even heard of. And I used to think myself as kind of an equipment junkie, and maybe that's fallen by the wayside over the years. But to kind of tie that into sales and estimating, you know, it's encouraging to me as someone who's kind of responsible for making sure that we get work and who wants to work with clients who are only bidding out projects to maybe 3-4 contractors at the most. And so it's encouraging to me to see, you know, we're kind of in the same boat with how we work with our equipment dealers and manufacturers. I mean, we've chosen 3 who we give a large majority of our business with, and we're not going out to every Joe Schmo who makes equipment and slaps a sticker on the side and bidding out to them every time that we need a new piece. And so that's kind of my tie-in from ConExpo and equipment to how that relates to sales and estimating and seeing the value in the relationships that we've built there with our dealers over the years. As far as advice for future participants, definitely go in with an open mind. If you're able to, plan for more than one day, because again, 8 hours is not a lot of time to see that much area. Don't just go in to ooh and ah, so to speak. And that's not the mentality that I went in with, but it's not going to be real productive use of your time if that's all you're going to do. But think about how you can integrate new equipment or software or tooling or anything else into your business or into your department or whatever it might be to improve productivity and profitability, of course, is important for the sustainability of the business. Of course, on the flip side, you might walk away and say, yeah, there's some pretty neat stuff doing, but we're actually doing a pretty good job. And maybe we do have a pretty good handle on where technology's at. And we just want to embrace where it is and really look forward to and plan ahead for what's coming at us here in a few years. So that's kind of my couple minute synopsis of my experience.
And I see that spectrum on two parts. You can be a small company owner operator and be on it and be in it and live it. Or you can be a large company and have multiple departments or a key personnel to do that. From my perspective, it's the companies in the middle that really need to keep up with the technology and don't let it pass you by.
Yep.
So, Brady, what would you recommend someone new coming into ConExpo in 26 do? And then just a wrap up from your perspective too, what do you anticipate getting out of ConExpo when you go?
So my recommendations, first and foremost, is wear comfortable shoes because you're going to walk a lot regardless. And then, and
is there a specific brand? We got to be one, because there's a lot of brands.
Brands of shoes out there. I like to stick to like one or two or three brands. Okay. Just sticking with. Okay.
All right.
Team here.
Well, John Deere had a branded pair of work boots that you were going to promote. You just missed the opportunity.
I don't know if work boots are the right. All right. Footwear. But yeah, going there with a plan, kind of to echo what, because I agree with what everybody has said there. I also had a first time, so this was my third year at Con Expo, and my first one I came away overwhelmed because I went there thinking I'm gonna go do this, that, everything, you know, like it wasn't realistic once I was there. And then I was kind of like almost like didn't know what to do, you know. So having a realistic plan is key. And what I go out there to try to take away from is to get some time with our manufacturer, be able to talk to them. You know, there are a lot of times there's engineers out there, or, you know, people in product development, like was already talked about. And then on top of that is to get time with our clients, or my clients that are out there, my clients and partners, whether it's at the show, you know, to be able to talk about a piece of equipment or some upcoming needs, or outside of the show, just to kind of kick back a little bit and spend some time.
Pat, I'll leave the last manufacturer brand rep give you the floor for your synopsis of what I should do in 2026, and also what do you take out of Con Expo?
Okay. Yeah, no pressure, right? I'm
like, no pressure, not at all. You can take as long as you want. That's okay.
We kind of went over this, but yeah, when you go out there, just have the open mind. But you know, you want to learn a lot, but enjoy it too. You're in Vegas, you're at a show with all kinds of cool things to see. So you want to go out there and enjoy it. So, you know, don't try and get everywhere if you can't get there, because you're going to end up like the one guy that went out with us with blisters on your feet because he wore the wrong shoes. So he walked too many miles. So enjoy it. Go with the open mind. Learn it. I go out there a lot of times. This was my fourth one. Two working it and two going from the dealer side. And I just go out there a lot of times to one, see what we're doing as a manufacturer, because as Jason said, they like to hide stuff even from us until they launch it there. I need to know what we just launched at Con Expo, because my customers are going to be coming back and saying, did you see this? And if I say no, well, then I don't look so good. So one, I need to know what Caterpillar launched at Con Expo. Two, I want to see what everybody else did, because obviously we're getting along in this room, but we all compete against each other. So I want to know what they're doing different and what we're doing, and be able to talk to intelligently about, well, yeah, they do it this way. This is what we do our way. So kind of need to know what the other manufacturers and the competition is doing, same as a contractor would do on their side. So I want to know both sides of it, so I know how to talk about our strengths versus what they're mm-hmm. selling as a strength. So it's kind of the things I always try and get out of Con Expo.
Thank you for that. I will say, with all the discussion, I did take some notes here. Shoes are a definite. I'll make sure my Apple Watch is charged so I get my steps. But what I'm taking away from all of you, one of the big keys is the relationships. I think each one of you and each one of your manufacturers bring certain expertise or differences in the market. And it's really about the relationships that I look forward to building when I go out there. With that, though, I will leave it to Keith to land this plane as it's coming down.
Yeah, well, you know, there wasn't much conversation about the fact that this is Las Vegas. And so, you know, why people attend Con Expo does depend on who you ask. And so we ask folks in a professional environment in this room. But it does seem like contractors are used to taking a lot of risk in business, in their daily lives. And my observations based on the evening and outside of the show is that that's not the last place contractors take risks, and maybe there's some risk taking goes on in the evening activities as well in the gaming halls. But nonetheless, I think one of the other areas we didn't talk about was around the educational seminar. So there, you could attend a seminar every hour of the show, and there's some great speakers that can really help challenge your way of thinking around safety, around culture, around techniques. And so one of the reasons that I go and that I look forward to it is the opportunity to disrupt my current line of thinking. It's so easy to get when you're in your own business, especially working in a family business, and maybe you're really used to seeing and doing things the same way. It's really easy to get insulated
And so it's an opportunity to get to intentionally disrupt your line of thinking. And you realize, you know, there's people out there making money with almost any type of tool, almost any type of brand. And even if it's backwards or even if it's different than we do it, but somebody is out there making a living doing it. And you got to pick your strategy, keep growing it, keep being challenged. And I think that's really what separates folks, whether it's at an equipment manufacturer level, whether it's at the dealer level, whether it's at the contractor level, is what are we good at? What's our strength? And how do we capitalize on that? And then how do I keep challenging myself? How do we keep challenging ourselves to continue learning, growing, and trying something that's going to push us a bit? And even at the individual level, those same qualities and traits of understanding your strengths, working within them, and challenging yourself to grow is what brings about professional growth, and it brings about relational growth, brings about personal growth as well. So I think that's the theme that I hope we can take away from this, is that playing on our strengths, capitalizing on that, building relationships, and challenging ourselves to the things that that are new, that are helpful to us. And not everything that's new is helpful. So again, you got to know your strength. Where's my niche? Because there are so many new things you got to sort through what's actually helpful. But it's a real blessing to be here with fine folks, my coworkers, as well as our dealer friends that help support what we do, and the many others whom you represent. There's other trucks and tools and things that we buy from other folks that have an important part to play in our business being successful. And just we are very grateful for our friends at Komatsu, at Cleveland Brothers, at Groff Tractor and Equipment, and those whom they represent here in this room today. Great support resources that help align with what we're doing and support what we're doing without getting worried about, well, whose mechanics are doing that and how do we help support each other. It goes a long way, and it's a privilege to spend time here together. Thanks for joining the Brubacher and Beyond podcast. We're committed to continuing to find ways to make the industry more uncommonly refreshing, and that's our goal here, and we're glad that you helped us gain a window into what that looks like beyond the Brubacher walls. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.